Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Consciously Connected, keeping you company this morning. Just gone 7:50 Central African Time. 10 minutes before we go to the news, but it's time for Straight Talk with our very own Counselor Ahmad Parak. Ahmad Parak walks the talk, people, and he's there at your service. Yes, Alhamdulillah. Many, many have given me positive reports about this wonderful brother of ours. Ahmad Parak, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners this morning. Beautiful Sunday morning, but it is a little bit chilly for Durban weather, Shafaq, but alhamdulillah. Yes, the Sardin is on the run at the moment. Yesterday it was Friday, Margate, and I don't know where it is today. So it will be coming when the weather gets cold. Sardines will be plenty to see today.
Alhamdulillah, Amchintweni, that is where Adam Kamda was, and he gave us a full half an hour report this morning, and everything looks good, and it seems like we're going to have lots and lots of sardines. But before we get into our straight talking, when we get into the municipality and all those issues affecting the civil issues, talk about Kafan Dafan. What's the latest, Ahmad?
Shafaq, Kafan Dafan, you know, we lost yesterday a very, very good old Muslim of ours from Bidder Street, Jamaat Khana, and he was put to rest yesterday at the Brook Street Cemetery, and he's been very long with the Bidder Street, Jamaat Khana, for about 20-odd years he was there, and the feedback that I couldn't go for the janaza because I had some other commitments, but the feedback I got yesterday afternoon was unbelievable. They did not use the spade, and every single Malawi brother used his hand, and the whole kabul was filled with only hands and not the spade. And this is where the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, use your hand, and this is how they filled the whole grave. And, you know, it was something that, you know, all those brothers met me at the mosque and told me, hey, Ahmad Bhai, you know, we were there. We never use a spade, and all the whole kabul was filled only by hand. You know, everyone did it the three sunnah ways, and they kept moving around, and the whole grave was full. And this is very, very encouraging. And I think mainly the Somalis also, they do not believe in using the spade. So that is one very positive result we got yesterday. The other information I must give you, Shafaq, by August, inshallah, that your people's dwells and the support from the community, we will be opening the fully-fledged Rescue 786 ambulance service in Durban, inshallah, that will take place sometime in August. That will be this year, sometime in August, where we'll be able to assist the community where there you got cancer patients, you got tick patients, need to go to the hospital, go to clinics. We'll be able to ship them and bring them back. So that is a service that we're putting together. IMA, alhamdulillah, Solly Suleiman has given me a space in Sherwood, where they got the IMA offices, and they're putting a frail care center. So the space has been allocated to me. The structure, inshallah, should be going up in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then, inshallah, we are ready. The brothers from Rescue 786, where they started with one ambulance, today they got like about 6 or 7 in Joburg. They are coming to assist us here in Durban to train our people, and then I'm looking at mainly bringing young females as well as males to assist in this and make it an ambulance service where it will be run by the youth only. So this is what I'm looking at it, inshallah, with your people's duas, we will be able to be running it from August, inshallah, Shabbat.
And, you know, you're looking at feasibility, cost factors and all that. Have you worked all that out, Ahmad?
Shafaq, in fact, I did my feasibility, I did my homework, how it's been running. In fact, for the last 3 years, I've been toying around with this idea. I've been going backwards and forward. Eventually, now I have mastered it to see the best and the easiest way to assist. And you know one thing, when it comes to service like this, Shafaq, alhamdulillah, we must make that like shukr that, you know, our community will support me because It's a service. It's needed for our community. And, you know, there's a lot of widows in flats and all. I mean, they are sick. And there's a lot of people that need our assistance. And, you know, there's other facilities. You know, ambulance service is very, very good, especially in KZN and everywhere in the country. But it comes with a cost. But we have already indicated how we want to work it, because most of our brothers and sisters have got medical aid. And the ones that cannot afford it, we have already found a method where we'll be able to assist them free of charge as well, Shubhat.
Now, Ahmed, talk to us about the crew of this ambulance service, how it works. And, you know, today, especially when we read stories of many getting hijacked or being called out falsely and so forth, talk to us about that. I'm sure, you know, man, with your experience, you have taken care of all that. Talk to us about the crew and talk about, you know, what precautions you have taken, you know, when it comes to these unscrupulous characters that are like, you know, like hyenas and vultures in our country.
But we, you know, when it comes to the service like this, obviously our vehicle is going to be fully kitted. We will be at our offices. We will know where our vehicle is, because it will have cameras in them and it will have tracker. So all that has been taken care of. So that is one big advantage. And we feel that if we have to go out in locations or assist anybody where we know there won't be problem, we have got backup facility in terms of security that will be able to assist us. I'm making arrangements at the moment to be talking to them how they will be able to assist us. With the, you know, normally the vehicle from the Tigwini normally goes out, they normally supply a security with the vehicle. We will do something like that. You know, end of the day, let's get it off the ground, and from there we'll see, inshallah. You know, when you do Allah's work, only Allah will protect it, and nobody else can protect that.
I like that. I absolutely like that. And I know, Ahmed, you will try your camel. But, you know, in we look at it, it's a Pingo Beach. You know, you used to have this karate expert. You remember Mohammed Sakur? Yeah, I think he was a 10 Dan. And then we had our Allen Karate. What a Shotokan or Shotogun. And all these guys, you know, they used to give classes to the youngsters, keep them, you know, fit and fearless. Our young men now, do they go in for, you know, karate or, you know, self-defense? Most of them go for training gun. Most of them have their firearms. Talk to us about the Ummah, you know, arming themselves to the teeth.
Shafad, I think the karate side of it, I know that is not taking. There is a facility, in fact, here around, but I don't know how many people are having. Checked on that, how many people are involved in it. But a lot of our youngsters are going for mainly shooting lessons and going for all that, you know, they're going and getting themselves properly armed up at the moment. So this is a thing that is taking place at the moment. But what we should be doing, you know, what we are forgetting, when you forget Allah and you want more protection, then you're missing the boat. So first is Allah, and then you protect yourself. If you've got full yakin in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need anything, Shafa. You don't need anything. Allah, you know, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he got protection? When there was 1,000 soldiers and they only had 333, how they won the war? You know, it's like that. If you have full yakin in Allah first, and then you protect yourself, is fine. You know, Allah says, tie your camel. But first you have yakin in him, nothing will harm you. And in fact, this is always my thoughts are always first. I say, put Allah first, and then you go out and you say, tawakkal Allah, and you carry on, and your work gets done, Shafa. And you know what? Bringing these youngsters into our system and training them into things like this and all that, keeping them away from other things. I was speaking to some youngsters at the masjid. I said, I need about 110. I will be able to teach you all how I do work in the political field. And we got at the Itigwini, whenever we're having our meetings, there's a special facility for the public in the back. Proper facility is made, and these, in some cases they provide lunch for you as well. I told them, you know, before the meeting, I will give you the minutes. I will tell you what they will be asking, what we're going to vote and what we're not going to vote against. All these things. And you know what, Shafat, I was shocked. You know how many of them said, I'm finishing, I've got another year to go, can I come and join you? You know, and I said, no problem. You come, I will even get you the bursary to go and do political science and everything else. So, you know, the people are hungry there. We just have to put it together. This is like a puzzle. Put that puzzle together. The youngsters are there to take grab it at the moment.
I tell you, lovely indeed, and well done there, Boniface. And yes, Ahmed, before the news, I was looking at the screen also, a message has come through. Sire says, Ahmed Parak and Bruce Schaff, a great show indeed, and I love straight talk. And Ahmed, and you really give it straight off the hip. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for that, Sire. He wants to know, he says, Ahmed, why, how much will a fully kitted ambulance cost? Ahmed, what's the cost of a fully kitted ambulance?
The vehicle alone will cost us about in the region of over 550,000. So you'll need about another 100 grand to get it fitted. It's about 650,000.
Alhamdulillah. And the paramedics, they'll all be professional, or will you get the training done, and you'll be paying for the training, or you'll be sourcing out professionals, Ahmed?
Yes, Shafat, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be employing for the day and the night shift. These are proper professional paramedics, and then we're going to recruit from our community and start training them to become paramedics, and they will be where they will be writing the exam and become fully fledged paramedics.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Ahmed. Just like that, people, you ask Ahmed the question on the ball, he is on the ball. He was a brilliant soccer guy too. Now, Ahmed, we're talking about, you heard in the news about these roads being blocked, going towards Marisburg, going towards Weenan and Walton and all. What's going on, Ahmed? Is it many are saying it's the RET group. It's like another insurrection, cutting off the trade routes and the things, the trucks. And a brother of mine told me now, a senior brother, he said, Shafat, it's a nightmare to drive up. And he says, even if you take the back roads, he says the potholes are so big, the whole car can go into the pothole. Your comments, Ahmed?
Shafat, firstly, there's two aspects to this question of yours. One is, we understand that there's a radical group trying to close up the roads and bring the truckers to a standstill and close up all the roads. That's one. The second issue is that there's a lot of construction, even if you're going from here, from Durban, you're going down to Marisburg. There's construction in all these national roads at the moment. So that's where the issue is. So, it does take you time to get to your destination, so you have to leave early. But the radical group, I think we have got them under control. And I don't think, even when they blocked up, 2 days ago when they blocked up the road, and then within a couple of hours, the roads were back opened and things started moving again. Because now the government has decided they're not going to play with them. And they will, you can't close up roads for their own personal gain. Yes, they foreign drivers, yes, we understand that. But bring, I'm still saying, bring them with the locals. The locals don't want to work. So that's where the foreigners are coming and taking advantage of the work opportunity in this country. So this is the problem that we are faced with. Take in the clothing industry, there's a lot of, about 40% is only Malawi workers. You can't get the local workers. The local workers don't want to come and work. That is the problem. In fact, in the old days, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, we had 200,000 workers in the clothing industry. The mother used to work. The granny used to work. The daughters used to work. Today, they don't come. They want to do IT. They want to do everything else. And they will sit at home, but they don't want to work. That is the problem we face with Shafat.
I see a message on the screen. It says, a brother from Stinger Beach says, Ahmed Parak, do you remember our Muazzin Ibrahim? He's gone back to Malawi. I believe he is not too well. And he would have been so happy to have you by his side. But alhamdulillah, Ahmed, keep an eye on Ibrahim. Should anything happen to him, can you make a plan from here for him there in Malawi? Ahmed, how do you react to our Spingo Beach brother? I should have given your name, brother. But I know, Ahmed, for a fact that your father, Parak Chacha, Allah fill his qabr with Noor and give him Jannat al-Firdaus, was very fond of Ibrahim, our Muazzin. Ahmed?
Shafat, before he left for Malawi, he met with me, and I know he's one of his other brothers. He's in Balance and Masjid as well. So I know him quite well. And when I used to live in Swingo Beach in Second Avenue, he first bought a first Bucky office. And he, because he couldn't park it, and he was scared, no, somebody is going to steal his Bucky. He used to bring it to my place, and I gave him the remote, so he used to park it in the back. And whenever he needed, he used to come and take his Bucky and go. So when he left recently now for Malawi, he told me, you know what, after so many years, I'm going back and all that. So I greeted him and everything. So he said, you must look after my brothers and all that. He said, I told him, no, whenever anybody needs, they got my numbers, they need to contact me. If anything, in Malawi, yes, we got good contact in Malawi. If anything happens, we'll be able to take care. We will be able to assist wherever we can assist, Shafan.
Hey, Ahmed. Someone will say, Ahmed, make a plan, man. I'm going to go to the moon. I don't think you'll tell him no, Ahmed.
Where there's a way, there's a will.
Beautiful. I like this. I like it, Ahmed. Then, I'm looking at a lot of questions coming through on the screen. Yeah, and this is from Dawood. Dawood says, Assalamu alaikum. I cannot miss the show for anything, Brother Shafa'at. Keep it up with Ahmed Parak. And he says, I want to know, Ahmed Parak, when there is a disaster and there's all these different types of things that are taking place, why is it that only you are accessible and others are so quiet? Is this like a one-man ikikweni, Ahmed Parak only? Ahmed?
Shafa'at, there's a lot of, you know, in the council we are 200. In fact, we got 219, councillors. Now, each one, first you become a, if you win the ward outright, you become a ward councillor. In my case, we didn't win any wards or anything. We are PR councillor, but I'm a councillor. But you know, Shafa'at, yesterday too, there was a lot of water, electricity issue and all that. You know, there's a big problem all over at the moment. So I'm still getting the water. Yesterday, there was a wedding, and the family was actually panicking. Hey, Ahmed, we don't know what time. You know, it's 6 o'clock, our function is going to start. There is no water. What about toilet? You know, old people want to come. I told him, don't worry. The water will be sorted out. We got two teams working there, and they will sort it out. And so far, they phoned me back at 5:15. They said, hey, thank you very much. The water is on. Alhamdulillah, please, we're feeling a little bit relaxed now. So, you know, we go out of our way. Wherever we can help, even, when it comes to service delivery, I don't see color, create, race, religion. I give service. If it's in Amlazi, Mashu, wherever needed, we will go out there when the gender, settlement was burnt here in Mayville a year ago. There was no toilets. We went and put toilets and we put toilets for the community. So, you know, wherever it needed, we must go and help the community. We are community based people. I'm a community based person, community based counselor. And I go and see wherever I can help. We need to go and help them. This is what you have to do.
Well, I'm looking at Ibrahim. Says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat, Brother Chef. I want to know from Ahmed what is wrong with the Shish Zikalala. He was teasing Buthelezi. What was he teasing Buthelezi about? And Buthelezi should be now retired and enjoying his farm and all his cattle. Well, how do you respond to Ibrahim, Ahmed?
Shabbat, yesterday, Sisle did, he's the top guy in our KZN, in our legislature, and he has apologized to Buthelezi. I think he made some bad remarks, and Buthelezi was not happy. And I think the ANC brought him to book because, you know, that's one guy, the IFP, you don't play. And in this province, especially, because, you know, he's got a big clout in that. He's in his, he's just about 90 or 91 years old, and he's still active in his political party. Yet he's not running it, but he's still in the party, and he's got a big say in this province as well. So I think the ANC did tell Sigalala to apologize, and I see this morning's Sunday Tribune, he has apologized, Shafa'at.
That's good. And also, we look at, we talk about ANC. I think you and I had a very deep discussion about it. Very few Indians. What about IFP? I mean, since there's only one person you can see there, Naren Singh. But do you see any more Indians in IFP or maybe in other parties also, Ahmad?
Shafan, especially the IFP in the council, in our Tiwini council, they got a lot of Indians, and even the DA has got a lot of Indians as well. But the EFF, I don't see any Indians there or coloured there. But the ANC in our Tiwini, they don't have any at the moment, not even one coloured, one white or Indian in the party. So that alone speaks for itself. So there is a problem with the ANC, because you know what, I can't see why they don't have Indians yet, and KZN, especially KZN, we have got a lot of Indians in this province, and I can't see why they haven't got them there. So, but nationally they have got that I'm aware of, and in the province there is some Indians as well.
Well, Ahmed, you know, there was this clip that is doing its round on social media, and I think I forwarded it to you. These people coming into the country illegally at the airport, they were arrested. I believe it was a mix of Bangladeshis and Pakistanis. I mean, your comments, it was like horrendous to see what's really happening in this country.
Shafat, the biggest problem is with all our borders and our home affairs and our law enforcement in the country. You know, I can't understand how these people are just coming left, right, and center. It's like, you know, freebie in this country. And then they are affecting, and, you know, people don't understand. You are paying rates, you're paying your taxes. These people are coming. I've got nothing against them. They come here, but I'm saying you must come legally here, come with a visa, come with your documentation. Any other country in the world you go, you cannot go. Even our own Muslim countries, you go to Saudi Arabia, anyone, go to Dubai, go to anywhere, Iraq or Iran, they must have paper. Even you go to India, you need proper documentation. They just, yes, there's so much of corruption in India, but they will make sure when you get into the airport or from any one of the borders, they will check you. You make sure your paperwork. Yeah, I just don't see how they just come in and they're affecting our infrastructure. Everybody in this country, in Durban and all over, they are crying for service delivery. There are thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants in this country. Now, they work here. They make the money. They only pay for the rent and food. Bulk of the money is going back to their homelands. It's not doing any good to us, and it's damaging our infrastructure, because now our infrastructure is there for 55 million. But the foreigners, another maybe 8 or 10 million. How do you sort your infrastructure when you got so much of non-registered, illegal immigrants in this country? That is the problem. I actually say we are saying we don't have a problem. They can come here, but they must be legal. That's what we are saying.
Ahmed, I'm looking at another message here from Faisal. He says, Assalamu alaikum. You guys are really, really talk it straight, Brother Shafaat and Ahmed Parak. I want to tell Ahmed that he must please come to the Eastern Cape and come and see what the brothers from the subcontinents, especially the Bangladeshis and Pakistanis, are doing. They're buying this Eastern Cape left, right, and center. That's why there's no water yet. I don't know how you respond to Faisal there, Ahmed.
Shafaz, Faisal, tell him on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, I'm going to be in Eastern Cape. There's a by-election, and we are contesting the by-election. It's contesting the by-election there. So I'm going to be there for the 6th, 7th, and 8th. If he can contact me there, I will then introduce him to some of my party members and all that. And then what our stance is and how we are going to get things right. We are making it very, very clear to the public, to the people of South Africa, that if you are illegal here in the country, you need to go back. If you got your documentation and if you have applied for your documentation, you do it properly with the Home Office, we don't have a problem. But if you are illegal, yes, it can be whoever it is. You need to go back, sort your life out, and then come back. This is the way we have to do it. Because end of the day, it's not going to come back. Because they're coming here, Shafar, they're only coming here to loot and nothing else. They're not giving back to the country. So you know what? We our infrastructure is going down the drain. And we cannot cope because we don't have the money to fix the infrastructure, because they are also using the infrastructure in this country.
Babu says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat Ahmed Parak. You are doing a sterling job and I'm so proud of you. I have two questions. Number one, Ahmed Parak, we want to know, why are Muslim landlords allowing this illegal brothers to stay in flats and different apartments? They are abiding them in crime. And also number two, Ahmed Parak, why isn't the EFF and other parties and other government officials focusing on the Chinese? They actually are looting the country too. Ahmed, a lovely contribution by Babu. How do you react to him?
The first question, Shafat, is very simple. That, you know, our Muslim landlords, you know what they do is, in one room, they charge, you know, the going rate for 8%, anything is from 1,500 to 2,000 rand a month. So they put in one room, they put five or six people, so they're getting how much that is. Work on 2 grand, you're getting 10 grand. If you've got a three-bedroom flat, it's got now 30 people there. You've got 30 people, he's making 30 grand. Where he's, you know, the normal rental in that flat is about 8 grand or 9 grand. Now he's getting 30. So he's, you know, that landlord is, he's very, very happy, because although, you know, he gets one guy, he look after, he brings all his other friends and put them there. This is it. And this is the problem. And when he gets raided, that landlord is going to be in trouble, because he's harboring illegal immigrants in the country. So you'll get 200,000 and fine, and you'll get convicted in the court of law. That's one. The second question the brother said about the Chinese. The Chinese are coming, but Shafat, the Chinese come here in the country, they put a proper infrastructure together. You see all the China malls they put up. You go to Newcastle, they're running a proper, efficient manufacturing company. Everything is legal in terms of the paperwork and everything is concerned. Because I work with Home Office very, very closely, and I know with the factory, you know, there's like about, in Newcastle alone, there must be about 129 members of my organization called United Clothing and Textile Association. 129 members I've got. These are all legal guys, legal entities, Pty Limited Company. They are paying the taxes. They got proper homes here. They're paying the taxes. They're paying the rates. And everything is legal. So they're coming here. All right, you might find some of them are illegal here. Then they bring goods from overseas. You know, when they bring goods from overseas, they're bringing through the harbor. If the duties are to be paid, if they're doing some danda way and bring it, I cannot tell you that. But they are legal here. But you might get some are illegal here that I cannot tell you. But most of them are legal.
Mahmoud says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Shafaat, a lovely show indeed. I want to know from Ahmed, what's happening with these contractors that are contracted by eThekwini municipality? They're taking the municipality for a luck by taking overtime from them. I believe that you are going to do something about that, Ahmed. No more overtime and giving money for nothing. Ahmed, Mahmoud got a lot of confidence in you. He says you're going to do something about that.
All right, the first one, Shafat Mahmoud, will be telling Zakallah for this question. But the first one is the Metro Police. Metro Police put in a claim to the executive of the eThekwini municipality. First it was 120 million, and then they needed another 60 million in overtax. We approved the 180 million because those people have not been paid for about a year or so. So we have to pay them anyway, you know. Otherwise, you're going to have the problem of going to CCMA and all that. You'll bring the city down to its knees and toy and everything, or you're going to have a major issue. So that is one of the issues we have accepted, that we want to pay them. But what we did in that process, we told them this: after this, there is no more overtime. They had to go and employ 300 additional policemen for the metro to train them and put them into the system. Our aim and object is that way. In 2010, we had 5,000 metro police officers. Today, we only got just under 2,000. It's about 1,900 or something like that. So they bring the first batch of 300, which is in the process of training, and they're going to build up from there. So there will not be no more overtime. So that will solve that problem. As far as the contractors are concerned, yes, you know, there is an issue that we got. Previously, the council used to employ their own people, the engineers, the workers, and electricians and everything. Now they're subcontracting it. But because of this flood, we had no option to keep them on to make sure that we get the infrastructure right quick as possible because everybody was jumping. But as this infrastructure is getting sorted out, we are now saying to the council, to the mayor, and to bring the speed it up and to employ proper people directly for the council and cut off that the overtime as well as subcontracting. So that it will take time. It might take 18 months or so, but eventually you will have your own infrastructure. Electrical department will have their own vehicles and the people to go and sort out your life. Water department will have that. Roads will have that. So they need at the moment, but we're not at full capacity. That's what we are saying.
Looking at a message from Osman, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Jazakallah khair for a lovely morning, Shafaat and Ahmed Paraka. I want to know from Ahmed, what was the damages done at motor assemblies? What was the figures and the statistics? I want to know from Ahmed, what are they doing with those damaged cars? Can we buy them for lakhs? How do you respond to okay. Osman there? He wants a lakh there at motor assemblies, Ahmed.
Firstly, motor assemblies is only going to open after the 15th of July. From the 12th of April to date, those people are working there, plus minus 15,000 workers, plus all the other components guys that does all the other small they've got small companies that assist the motor assembly. They are also going to be, either they're going to be completely closed up or they're going to come back if they can bounce back. You know, it takes, you know, for a small company, they don't have enough financial muscles. For them to bounce back, it's a mission, but there is a granted aid to assist the smaller guys. So via motor assembly and Itigwini municipality, they're working on something through the international from Japan, bringing money to assist the smaller component guys. But the cars that was already damaged, that will be those vehicles, they're not going to sell it to the public or anything like that. From my information is they're going to crush those cars and bring it back into the system and redo them, and that thing is going to be for export purposes.
Yeah, looking at Rashid's contribution, he says, well and good, Brother Shafaat, you and Ahmed talk, but I want to know from Ahmed Parak, what are his views on the ANC government, and especially Cyril Ramaphosa? He's borrowed millions and millions of rands from the IMF, and he's put this country into debt. Our future generations will be paying for this debt. What a selfish president. He should be brought to book now and now. Ahmed, how do you respond to Rashid?
Shafaat, yes, they did borrow millions and I would say billions of rand from the IMF. Yes, that is true. But that money will be paid because the money that you bring from IMF, it is on a very, very small interest rate. So, you know, with South Africa, with all the minerals and mines and everything what we have in the country, that money will be paid back. You know, they've got a specific period. When you borrow money, they give you 18 months or 2 years or whatever it is. That money will be taken care of. But the issue that they shouldn't be borrowing money because South Africa should be self-sufficient. At one stage, you know, if you went to Joburg, you know, the whole day, Shafaat, if you heard of Carlton Hotel. Carlton Hotel was, you won't believe it, what I'm going to tell you. Carlton Hotel was owned by the Itigwini municipality, you know that. So, you know, we have so much of assets in the Itigwini municipality. Today, we don't have too much of asset because most of the assets they had to sell to get the money in. So that is one of the things. In terms of Cyril Ramaphosa, yes, this matter is sub judice. we can't say much because he hasn't been charged or anything. Yes, they're finding things on him or anything. But, you know, they have to, you know, everything has to go through the process. It has to go before the court of law. Then only, you know, they charge you, then only you can say, yes, he was charged for that. And the court will then decide what they have to do. So at this stage, matter is sub judice. We cannot talk much about it because we don't know the true facts about it. The man has opened a charge. There's another charge was opened in Durban yesterday for assault and murder and everything against Ramaphosa. But all this has to still go to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then decides to prosecute, not to prosecute. These are all processes it will take this time, Shafa.
Yeah, I'm looking at a last question. Let's make that the last question, Boniface, because it's raining questions for Amber there. Yaga says, Zandile Gumede, she has taken so much of money, going to court, still getting paid. What are your gut feelings, Amber? Will she be convicted? Yaga's asking a powerful question there.
Shabbat, you know, the court of law, depending on, you know, she's got advocates, she's got top lawyers and all that. You know, in this DSW saga, $420 million, it's a big, huge amount. There's a lot of people involved in this. There's a lot of heads going to roll in this process. We cannot say till this matter, I know it's been set down for in the next 2 months, it is coming before the court and it's going to take maybe about 25 days because there's a lot of witnesses, a lot of officials from the DSW were implicated in this thing here. So once that is, the process is over, then we'll be in a much better position. As now you wait from day one when the court process starts, how she was involved, who was a mastermind behind this here. All that information will be gathered and then it'll come before the judge. And then from there, will be, you know, as you're following the case, then you'll know whether she's directly involved or indirectly involved. Then only we'll know what's happening to Shabbat.
I tell you, Ahmed, on Straight Talk, it really happens, and all the questions coming through. And, you know, how many of these callers here, I mean, that send messages to me, how many of them called you after the show, Ahmed?
Hey, Shabbat, there's a lot call me. Leave alone locally. I'm getting from UK, Australia, Canada, from all over. You know, I can't understand it. Sometimes, every day, I get calls like this. And you know, there's a brother, Kaji, you know, we spoke about it. He's got, I don't know how he got my number. He phoned me directly. And, you know, he said, what about this? What about this? And all that. And, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Australia, especially in Brisbane and the UK and all that, they've still got their assets here. They've still got their businesses here. And they're there. But they listening to our what is happening and how we're trying to put the city right and everything. So, you know, we're getting 10 out of 10 most times, you know, alhamdulillah. But, you know, you cannot please everybody, Shabbat.
I tell you, Ahmed, now I know why they call me. Okay, because they got assets here, they're living overseas, and they're worried about what's here. Hey, Ahmed, we solved a puzzle this morning. You were absolutely, mashallah, absolutely brilliant. Your parting words?
Shabbat, there's one or two issues that we need to bring into this thing. There's two major constitutional court cases that was won in the last 2 weeks. One was the, you know, now if you're going to fight the 2024 election as an independent candidate, you can stand. You don't have to go by a party. That's one. Two, the soup kitchens, you know, with the Tigwini is running. And we've got a major problem in that is, you know, they're getting fed like only once a week. So we're busy working towards that issue. And the major issue at the moment is the water issue, you know, that where we're losing like 52% of the water consumption because of all the leaks and everything. And from Monday, from tomorrow, from the 20th, you want to get from the Durban Heights, there will be water rationing in some of the areas. So that's where we want to be, you know, from next week radio, our show, there will be, that question is going to come. We have been out of 4 hours for water. There's nothing we can do because it's a one-year process what we're going to be renovating and fixing to get this water system going in KZN and in Durban especially. So inshallah, with the help of Allah, we should be able to sort things out.
Absolutely brilliant, Ahmed, and keeping us up to speed. Allah bless you. And really, I tell you, I enjoy this rapport with you on a Sunday morning. But one more thing. Where you get that energy to, you know, really have that oomph? Is it your breakfast you have in the morning? Or are you the type of person that has a special capsule you take that gives you the energy to fire on all cylinders, Ahmed?
Shafat, no, alhamdulillah. After Fajr, actually, when I go to the masjid, come back, I don't sleep. I read through all my work for the day. What, like, yes, this morning, I was preparing for today's, whatever I prepare, all those questions, there's about 15 questions I was supposed to be speaking on. I shelved them because the questions are coming from the people. They want to know more than what we can tell them. So we have to answer to all those there. But alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, this is all Allah's work that Shafat is carrying on, and that Allah give me the strength to do this work, Shafat.
Then, as you, Allah has given you the strength to do this work, and you had 15 issues that you wanted to bring up. The people brought it right to you, and alhamdulillah, you have done well this morning. Ahmed, you have a blessed day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, JazakAllah khair to all of you for sending in those questions already made for a very vibey chat this morning.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.